Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 70 of our Year of the Bible adventure through Holy Scripture today in the book of Joshua, getting towards the end of the book of Joshua. The allocation of the land has begun, not completed, but the conquest of the land, at least like the main part of the fighting and so forth, has been done already. In chapter 21, which we looked at 21 and 22 today, in chapter 21, the Levites are finally, like, it had already been told that they were going to be given towns, cities, but they hadn't been specified. So here they're specified. Something to note is that they come from all of the different tribal allocations, which is to say, all of the tribes sort of end up sort of hosting, if you will, some of the Levitical towns. Aaron's family gets a sort of special nod there, but all of the other tribes of Israel are involved, so that they can be nice and spread out among everybody else. Joshua, the book of Joshua, makes a big deal about this, just to make the point that, look, these were things, kind of specific things that had been said, way back in Numbers, back in Deuteronomy, and here it is coming to pass. So again, sort of making the point that the Lord is faithful, and that's how 2021 ends. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. So telling us, not only, you know, as we read this story, you know, the Lord made them a whole set of promises, and look, they've all been fulfilled. But of course, telling us something too. Not one of the Lord's good promises to you is going to fail. Everyone will be fulfilled in some way, shape, or form after some amount of time. We just don't know how long or when. A good example of not knowing how long or when is what happens in chapter 22, when the eastern tribes are sent home. Do you remember the eastern tribes? There are those tribes that had been over there fighting before the crossing of the Jordan, back when Moses was around. They had been on the east side of the Jordan, which is not Canaan, it's Gilead. They had been over there, and they kind of liked it over there. There was like a lot of pasture lands, and a couple of the tribes in particular, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and then half of the tribe of Manasseh, had said, we actually really like it over here. Our particular needs have to do with livestock and grazing and stuff, and like, this is like the best grazing stuff we've ever seen. Can we stay here? Please, 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 Dad. And Moses says, okay, sure. Now, this has always been, I mean, it's been a little anomalous. It's the thing is, east of the Jordan is not the promised land. I mean, it's literally promised land adjacent, sure. But that's it, like, that's not the land that was promised to Abraham. Now, okay, Moses said, yeah, you can have it. But you know, you've got to help the rest of us, the other, you know, nine and a half of us, subdue the actual part of Canaan, and they do. And so in the beginning of chapter 22, there's a really great, Joshua goes to the soldiers, from Reuben, Gad, and half of the Manasseh, and say, guys, good job. We said that you could stay there on the east side of the Jordan if you'd come help us, with the conquest, and you did. And that's been, and that's been really wonderful. And you just sort of, as a reader of this, isn't it nice to see like something done well? Not necessarily even like heroically, although I'm sure there's heroism involved, but like, they were supposed to do something and they were faithful and they did it. And I don't know, I just find that's really good. Joshua finds it really good because he blesses them, I think twice. You've done a really good job. You didn't desert anybody, and now you are ready to rest. Now you can go back to your place. And then he also sort of speaks to them. Remember, he's an old man at this point. He's got he looks at these guys and says, guys, just, you know, now you're going, now you're going to be over there, and that's cool and everything, but just, you know, don't forget, like, stay tight with the Lord. Like, you know, you're not going to be right around here anymore. We're not going to all be together exactly. So you're going to be in kind of a farther away place on the other side of Jordan. Just remember to keep following Yahweh. And they said, okay. The other sort of interesting thing that they do there is he orders them to divide the plunder with the other people in their areas. So the guys who are going back are the soldiers, and the soldiers are going to come back with plunder from the you know, different people that they plundered, but they're going to go back to this land that they had left wives and children and other folks who were tending to the, you know, the business of the land while they were away. Somebody had to stay and, you know, keep the livestock alive, if nothing else. So Joshua says, this is sort of an interesting and important principle. Yes, you're the ones who went out and fought, and that was super, and that was really great. And you made a sacrifice to do that, and that's very good. But those people that stayed behind, they made sacrifices too. It wasn't the sacrifice with a sword, maybe, but it was a sacrifice of farming and keeping everything, and not to mention that they missed you. So they get some too. And it goes to make the point that, you know, every member of the body has some kind of role to play. The ones that are seen and out front, like the soldiers and everything, they have their own role to play. Or like in the church, say, oh, like the priests, like they have their role to play. But really all of the roles, are just as essential. You can't do without any of them. And so the rewards then should go to everybody, not just to the soldiers. Another story for another day. But so that's what they do. And they go back. When they came to Geliloth near the Jordan in the land of Canaan, it says the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an imposing altar there by the Jordan. Imposing, or some other translation, it was like imposing to the eyes, like magnificent to the eyes or something. Some like really big, impressive altar. But wait. Deuteronomy, God said there's only going to be one altar. Now the pagans, the Canaanites had altars all over the place, and that was fine. They could, you know, that's what, I mean, it's not fine, but that's what they did. But these guys aren't supposed to be pagans. They're not supposed to build these different altars. But they do. And the Israelites on the west side of the Jordan, right, the main part of the promised land, hear about it, and they say, hey, hold on. You can't do that. You can't build another altar. They said, and what they remember is how Achan, the guy who stole some stuff from Jericho, and remember they ended up losing the next war. Achan had done something bad, and a whole lot of people had died as a result. They say, hey, we don't want this happening again. Those guys, our cousins over there, Gad and Reuben, are over there causing problems. So they get together and they send Phinehas, son of Eleazar, to the land of Gilead, along with 10 of the chief men, one from each of the tribes of Israel, each of a head of a family division among the Israelite clans. So now imagine, if you will, you're one of the people in Gad or Reuben, Gad or is it, and who shows up but Phinehas? Do you remember Phinehas? Phinehas was the guy who, the son of Eleazar, the priest, who when the Moabites and the Israelites were being inappropriate together, went and speared them in two. Phinehas, a guy known for his zeal, not known for his restraint. Phinehas shows up with a representative from every other tribe, and they're ready to go to war. And they're ready to go to war because they say, hey, you guys go to war against their own people, because he said, you know, you building this altar and breaking the law here, it's not just bad for you, it's bad for us. It's like, you know, the Lord's going to come in. And so they're ready to go to war to stop them from doing it, if only to protect their own skin. And Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh replied to the clans of Israel, "The mighty one, God the Lord, the mighty one, God the Lord, he knows." It's funny syntax there, because they invoke all of the names of God all at once. They say, I think it's like El Adonai Yahweh, El Adonai Yahweh, which is like all the names of God, like all together. They say it twice. They're like, no, 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 no. That's how I would translate it. No, 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 no. No, no, no. That is not what we were doing. We were setting up an altar of remembrance, because while the people on the west side of the Jordan are worried that the people on the east side of the Jordan are going to get up to stuff, you know, and they're not going to be, you know, they're going to go their own way. The people on the east side of the Jordan are worried, in a way that is really like charming, are worried that they're going to be forgotten, that they're going to be forgotten about. The Jordan is not an uncrossable river, except for you know, during the thaw or whatever. It's clear that it's clear that, you know, it's not impassable. It is something that can be passed, but it is a kind of barrier. Like the Delaware River, it's not impassable, but it is kind of a barrier of sorts between over here and over there. And so they were afraid that they'd be forgotten about, and so they were gonna build this altar so that later, if the west side descendants said, "Oh, we're the real Israelites, and you guys over there on the east side, you're not real Israelites," they could point to some altar of great antiquity and say, "No, that's what was put together, way back when, to show that we're all part of Israel." They were right about being left out. They were right about being forgotten, and it was. Phinehas, again, not known for his restraint, was satisfied with that. And so that's fine. But what you do see there is that there's an uneasiness there, right? Like, you recognize, like, there is some difference that is put there. And on the one hand, they can and should celebrate their unity. All children of Jacob, right? And when we're all heirs of the promise and that kind of thing. On the other hand, there's going to be a division of some kind. And so it's going to take work to maintain that unity. It's not just going to come automatically. It's going to require some maintenance, and they will have trouble. They will have promise. They will have problems. Not to say that what they did was bad necessarily, just that you're already having the seeds planted in the book of Joshua for later sort of divisions and fights, and this is one of the places that you see it. There's, you know, more we could say about that. You know, it does not say back when the people on the east side of the Jordan were granted that land by Moses. It does not say that It does not say that Moses consulted the Lord and then did it. So, like, I don't know. It's not great. And it causes problems, and it's going to cause problems. But at least here, they came and they were able to talk it out. You know, so I suppose that's another good sort of thing you could take from it. Phinehas showed up with the other, but they did at least allow them to sort of say their case and explain why it was that way. And they promised that it was an altar with no blood. There were no burnt offerings. There were no sacrifices being made there. It was just like a monument. It was like a monument as a witness, not an altar, not like a quote unquote, like working altar. So maybe not. But they were worried, and you see that sort of introduced there. I don't know. I think it's kind of charming. I mean, it's kind of cute. It's kind of sad. But I mean, does it not you know, the anxiety on both sides, does that not resonate, right? Does that not say, is that not an inclination that you can identify with? I don't know. Let's pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, amen. Have a great rest of your day. Talk to you again tomorrow.